Morning. Glad that you're here. I welcome our visitors. We have several this morning. We appreciate that you're among us. As we now turn our attention to the Word of God, I invite you to get your Bible and join us. If you have questions of what is taught or practiced, we sincerely invite those questions. Let's arrange to study God's Word more and discuss it and learn from what God's Word says that He wants of us in our lives. And of course, there's nothing more important about what God wants than that we are saved from our sins. And in His Son Jesus, as Brother Aaron mentioned at the table this morning, the one who was viewed as powerless is the only one with power to save us from our sins. In none other is there salvation, neither is there any other name, any other power under heaven given among men wherein you must be saved. And so we urge you, if you're not saved this morning, if you're lost in your sin, to use this opportunity to call the gospel, to respond to His call, to be saved in the Christ. Put your faith in Him and repent and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. As Christians, we're to examine ourselves. We're to be careful that we walk in truth. And so if we have been practicing that which is sin, we are urged by God to repent of that, to confess it in prayer to Him. If you need have that need in some public way, need to correct sin, then ask for the brethren's prayers and encouragement. We want to help you too, and we invite you at the end of our lesson this morning to respond to God's call. So we're going to study wisdom's crying out in Proverbs 8. But it's interesting to note that in Job also observed that God is the source of wisdom. The 28th chapter of Job is full of that recognition. And in Job 28, 20 and following, he asks the question, from where then does wisdom come? Where does wisdom come from? Where's the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way. He knows its place. He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a height, a weight for the wind and a portion of the water by measure. God is the one who understands wisdom. He knows the place of wisdom. He has used wisdom, as we will see later in this study, and continues to use wisdom and calls upon us to be people of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. But that skill comes from applying a knowledge of God's Word. The prudent, skillful way of applying knowledge. Knowledge supplied to us by God. So that we'll find that wisdom is not just knowing what is right, but it is using what is right skillfully to advance that which is right, that which is godly. Look at the book of Proverbs in chapter 1 and the beginning verses. Says that it was written precisely to help us have insight, to give us insight, to give us wisdom in living our lives here on earth, and consequently, wisdom before God. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, this one whom God blessed with greater wisdom than any of his peers, said to know that he writes these proverbs to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. I am writing these for the young and for the old. I am writing so that you can know what is wise. You can grasp an understanding of what is right and prudent, and make choices in your life of justice and judgment and equity, fairness, that you can have the discretion that you need to live life skillfully with God's approval. You see, it is the idea of living a godly life that is the product of wisdom. Godly wisdom, godly living requires wisdom. James notes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Foolishness arises when we, by our conduct, are not good. When our conduct is not right in God's sight, then we become fools. And we are foolish to advocate that which God says is sin. We are foolish to defend conduct that is against the wisdom of God. If we're going to have wisdom, it is because we seek to live godly, and without it, any objective of godly living is going to fall short. And so in Proverbs 8, in these Proverbs that Solomon wrote for our understanding and discretion, he personifies wisdom. That is, it is as if wisdom is a woman crying out to be heard and to be heeded. She is somewhat like a merchant hawking her wares. Wherever the people are, she is crying out. She's on the top of the hill and the paths that people walk. She's at the gates of the city as people come and go. She is offering wisdom. She is offering herself. And by the way, in contrast, in the book of Proverbs, to the strange woman, to the profane woman that draws the man into sins of the flesh and defilement, here's wisdom crying out not to be despised, but to be listened to be heeded. And in fact, it is the fool that despises wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If we hold in contempt that which God proclaims as wise, we are truly the fool. This is not the first time in the book of Proverbs where wisdom is personified, as wisdom is crying out in chapter 1 in verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Again, here she is crying out for us to love her. In chapter 8 in verse 17, the verse goes on to say, "I love those who love me." This is wisdom speaking. "And those who seek me diligently find me." And so we are to love wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, James describes it. The wisdom that begins with the fear of God, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So for our ability to live skillfully in this life, to apply what God says is right, to know it and to live it, we've got to love that process. We've got to love wisdom and seek her. And when we do, we will find her. And so she cries out for our attention. She wants us to listen. And perhaps part of the implication here is that wisdom is not secluded in the ivory tower of the intellectual. Wisdom is out among the common people, on the pathway. He at the gates of the city. Remember, Paul himself said that not many wise according to the flesh are called. You see, we've got to want this wisdom. We've got to want to find and love this wisdom. It is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. Proverbs 1, 28 through 33. Proverbs 1, 28 says, "Then they will call on me." Now this is wisdom speaking. And she's already been rebuffed. She's been disregarded. And destruction results. The result of foolishness falls upon people. "And then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." Here's somebody who's not interested in wisdom, but complacent. And disregarding of wisdom until it's too late. "Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." We've got to listen to wisdom. We've got to want to be wise. It's a heart matter. It's a decision that we make whether or not we want to know what is wise and then be prudent in applying that to our lives, making those decisions and choices. In Proverbs 2, 10 and 11, he goes on to say, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Wisdom has to enter your heart if it's going to help you. But you've got to have a heart open to God's wisdom. It will bring understanding. It will bring strength, as Proverbs 8 goes on to discuss in our text this morning, in that 8th chapter, beginning in 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings rule and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. When wisdom attends judgment, the people prosper. We will prosper in the blessings of God if we want wisdom. We got to pay attention to what wisdom says. You know, we have a very short attention span, generally. And I know in a warm building like this, with a guy standing up preaching, it's just ready-made to sleep, or at least to nod off. Well, I know there's a lot of factors in the world that hinder our attention, that try to move our attention away from wisdom, from listening to the wisdom that God has revealed. Wisdom's crying out to me and to you. God wants us to be wise. It's available to us. You see, it's attainable. Of course, that's why we put our faith in Jesus too, isn't it? Because in Him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. Colossians 2 and verse 3. So really, giving attention to wisdom amounts ultimately then to giving attention to Jesus. To listening to God, to His Word, to His truth. Wisdom knows that the best course is always the way Jesus teaches. That's always the wise way. We have choices every day to choose. Jesus' way, God's way, or some other way. Our own way. A way somebody offers us or promotes to us and tells us we ought to take. Jesus' way is always right. It's always the wise way. The others are the way of foolishness. The Lord gives wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's why we open the Scriptures. That's why we listen to what it teaches. Because it is God's wisdom, not man's. It is the knowledge and understanding that will help us make right choices, live skillfully, prudently, with discretion, turning away from evil and doing the good all the days of our lives. In our text, wisdom has a couple of markers that are mentioned in verses 7 and 8, and that is the markers of truth and righteousness. If anything is suggested to you as being wise, but it does not accord with truth, or it violates God's principle and revelation of righteousness, then rest assured it is not wise. Here's the markers. My mouth, wisdom says, my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. So you see, anybody who suggests to us the wise way is that which is sinful, that's not wise. That's not right. And we've had that put in our face this week. Not that that's really anything new, just another part of it. But it's put in our face that same-sex marriage is wise, it's love, it's right, it's foolish, it's sin, it's perversion. Now, the markers of truth and righteousness have to prevail. We cannot advise and encourage and promote that which is against truth. We have to fear God and hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And that's really the problem. That's why evil rises. It's not merely that good men do nothing. It's that we don't fear God. You know, Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Well, there's something to be said about that. But at the bottom line, it is that those good men must fear God. And when we fear God, it's about God who is good. It's about honoring God and His truth and His righteousness. If we want to be wise, we turn to God. The fear of the Lord, Job said, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. We got a foolish nation. The world is foolish. That's the contrast. You see, the world does not listen to wisdom. That's the picture the Proverbs paint. Wisdom is crying out and man ignores wisdom. It goes instead for the strange woman. That's the offering. As you read the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. The father is warning his son about not to go after the strange woman, the immoral woman, of fornication and adultery, of sexual immorality, of licentiousness, and of lust. It's foolish, it's detrimental, it's destructive. Choose wisdom. Where there's prudence, where there's discretion, where there is good understanding and blessing. And time after time after time, we chase after the immoral woman, the strange woman. And time after time after time, we reject wisdom. Because wisdom calls us to truth. It calls us to account. It calls us to uprightness. And because we don't fear God, we don't choose wisdom. That's wisdom's marker. Do we fear God enough to trust that what He says is right and then do what He says? Proverbs 111 and verse 10. I'm sorry, Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. He says the person that understands, the person who is on the path of wisdom, is the one who fears God and keeps His commandments. That's the whole of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. So wisdom warns us. Warns us that if we do not choose a fear of God, then we will be brought to destruction. We already read Proverbs 1, I believe, and 22. So let's go to chapter 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The fool's right in his own eyes. The fool doesn't turn to divine truth. It doesn't turn to thus saith the Lord. No, the fool is right in his own ways, in his own eyes, in his own thinking. And yet the wise person listens, heeds, responds to counsel. What counsel? The counsel that begins with the fear of the Lord and keeps His commandments. So the question is, are we wise in our own sight? Or are we seeking the path of wisdom set before us by truth and righteousness, by God Himself? Again, wisdom uses discretion toward God and men. Proverbs 8:12. Discretion or care. Wisdom is careful toward God and toward others. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. You see, what wisdom does is take what it knows and then puts it into prudent, careful action. Proverbs 3, 21 through 20, 21 and following. Proverbs 3, 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. All right, so listen to the words that come from God, those things that are truly wise, wisdom from above, keep it. So they will do what? They will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way. Here's a life. Here's the practice of daily life. And your foot will not stumble. when you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you will, yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor the trouble of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence. Now listen, do not be afraid of sudden terror. Don't be afraid of trouble when the wicked comes. When trouble from the wicked comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Christians worry, or at least Christians talk about what's coming next. What has come, what's coming next. Wisdom tells us, keep our trust in the Lord. Let Him be our confidence. He will keep our foot. Why? Because we are in a fear of God, putting into practice what we know is right. And so, the Scripture says, what can man do to me? What can man do to me? You know what he can do? He can kill my body, but he can't kill my soul. Jesus said that. Don't fear him who can kill your body, but cannot kill your soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we fear God in truth and righteousness. This was Jesus' counsel to his apostles. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You're going to have to live wisely, he said. I'm sending you out amongst the enemy. Be wise. Be prudent. Take what you know is right and then carefully apply it to achieve godly ends. You see, that's what James is all about in James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and among you? He said, who is it that has this wisdom? Let him show in his good conduct that his works are the produce of that wisdom. Get over there and read it together. James 3, 13. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And then he elaborates. When there's bitter envy and self-seeking in the heart, that's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom that's from above, verse 17, is first pure, peaceable, and gentle, and willing to yield, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, we don't make peace with sin. That's not wise. He that fears the Lord hates evil. That's what wisdom said. Proverbs 8 and verse 13 there. Or 12. 12 and 13. So, not about making peace with evil and sin. It's about, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men, but be sure you're at peace with God in truth and righteousness. Wisdom uses discretion. You see, Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The folly of fools is deceit. The wise person considers his life. You know, another way the Bible talks about that, we're familiar with it. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. See, the wise person does that. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, is to take assessment, is to be aware. Look at himself, look at his way, look at his path. Is it in truth? Is it in righteousness? Does it show a fear of God? Or is it what amounts to foolishness by not having those attributes? Now, the fool, on the other hand, he's happy in his deceit. He's happy being deceiving himself that he's wise by rejecting God and opposing those things that are of God. Again, in Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Here's the prudent application of knowledge. Here's the humble approach of wisdom that James talked about. The well-advised use wisdom that's from above. So, not enough to just know what's right, you see. We have to skillfully do what is right to advance godliness, or we cause more problems. We can know what's right, but if we don't use wisdom, we can cause more problems than we solve. And that's not right. See, that's not the wisdom that's from above. Wisdom is just not know, is more than just knowing what's right. It's skillfully using what's right. It's making the applications to advance that which is truth and that which is righteousness. Now, Proverbs goes on to say wisdom is plain and right. You know, the Bible says don't be foolish or do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And in Proverbs 8 and there in verse 9, they are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Now what he's describing is the words of the mouth that come out of the mouth of wisdom. The words from the mouth of wisdom are plain and right. Plain and right. And somebody just said, well, it was Friday actually, in an internet discussion about the events of the day and the same-sex marriage ruling that said that, you know, that you can use the Bible, because I refer to some scripture. He said, well, you can use the Bible to mean whatever you want it to mean. And you say that's really a foolish statement. No one would dare want that said of themselves. And yet they're very willing to say it about God. On the other hand, God says, understand what the will of the Lord is. We can know what truth is. We have to put our faith in His Word. And that's combines with wisdom. You see, part of wisdom is trusting that what God says is right. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, and in 9 and 10, Paul's prayer for the Colossians. He says, for this reason I pray for you. I do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Okay, there's the knowledge. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay, so I want you to have wisdom, and I want to combine with that, or knowledge, and I want to combine with that wisdom. Why? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Knowledge and wisdom so that you can live, so you can do His will. Fruitful in every good work. So we can know. We can be filled with knowledge. And in understanding, in that knowledge, then he says, skillfully use it. Put your trust and faith in what God says. Another place the Bible says we are bold. We have great boldness in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. We use great boldness of speech, the text says. The idea is assuredness, openness, plainness. Wisdom does not masquerade itself as something it's not. Wisdom is willing to be open. Because wisdom relies upon truth. It relies upon the knowledge of God, of His Word, His will. It's courageous to do what's right. Peter said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're going to be open about it. Now, was Peter a fool? You know, Peter should have just gone underground, not said anything. John, because they didn't, they ended up getting beaten and then chased all around till they were killed. They should have been wise and gone underground. No, that would have been foolish because God gave them a commandment to go and preach the gospel. So when God gives us a commandment, we can't say, oh, but it's not wise to do it right now. It is wise because God spoke it. Whatever God has commanded us and we fear Him, we do what He says, that's wisdom. Even when man says it's not wise, God's Word is right and is wise. You see, that's what we're talking about. We don't go underground now because the Supreme Court has said states can legalize and must legalize same-sex marriage, so we're going to go underground? No. We're going to keep preaching the same gospel. Keep teaching it to our neighbors. And if religious liberty is next affected, we'll have to fight that battle. But we'll keep doing what's right. Because you see, wisdom is plain. And it is right because God says it's right. And that's where we put our trust. Now, in this next text, and we'll pull this together and bring it to a conclusion. A lot more could be said here in Proverbs 8, but I want to point out to you how valuable wisdom is. The value of wisdom. And we have to value wisdom if we're ever going to achieve wisdom in our lives. verses 10 and 11 says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her." How important is it to us to have wisdom in our lives? Is it more important than silver and gold? More important than possessions? It's supposed to be, because it's more valuable than those things. We ought to cherish what's most valuable. And wisdom is more valuable than all those. And then verses 22 through the rest of the chapter, he really explains that in some depth. Now, I might add to you, and you go back and read Job 28, because Job begins that 28th chapter by describing what men do to try to find the precious minerals of the earth. Gold, silver, iron, and copper. They dig tunnels in the earth. They have mine shafts. They look for what is precious because it's valuable. But his point is about wisdom. He says, but where can they find wisdom? You going to find wisdom in the gold mine? No, not there. But God knows where it is. See, that's Job's point. And we need to go to God to get what's really valuable. So, you see, Job says, we look for treasures. What we need to really be searching for is the priceless value of wisdom, or the priceless commodity, which is wisdom, and value it most highly. To do that, we have to devalue our own wisdom. If we're going to value God's wisdom, we're going to have to devalue our own. And that's the problem, isn't it? Is we want to think the way we want to think, value the way we think about things, more than value the wise counsel of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 18 through 21. "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men." We've got to learn not to boast in men, boast in ourselves, boast in the superiority of our wisdom. We've got to learn to humble ourselves before God, value His wisdom. In Proverbs 8, 22 through 35, I just want to show this to you. You can go back and read this more. We're not going to have time to explore it here, except to look. He makes the point. Wisdom was God's companion before creation. Before creation, He ever created anything, wisdom was God's companion. And we know that because, like in Ephesians 3, before the foundation of the world, God planned that the church show His manifold wisdom. Wisdom was God's companion before creation. And it was God's craftsman, His master craftsman, during creation. As the master craftsman, wisdom says, "I was with God creating this world." And you look at this world and you see the amazing wisdom over and over. And his point in the proverb is that wisdom can be your companion. It's the same wisdom that's calling out from the heights and on the paths and at the gate of the city, calling for our attention to bring us blessings. Jesus said, "Everyone that hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock." So if we will listen to the words of Jesus and do them, wisdom will be ours. The blessings of that companionship will take us into eternity, because it is a blessed companionship that has been with God all along. God, our God, is the very source of wisdom. And so, what better companion than godly wisdom, God's wisdom, to direct our path, to show us the way that we ought to live. On the other hand, Proverbs 8, 36 ends by saying, "The fool despises, rejects wisdom. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul." He who sins against wisdom wrongs his own soul. all those who hate me love death. You hate God's word?
Despise what God's word says?
I say, oh, I don't hate God's word. I don't hate God. We show whether we love God's word or hate God's word by what we do with God's word. So, and what does he say? Well, what the wrong way is, if you sin against me, you wrong your own soul. If we reject God's wisdom, we sin. You see that point? That's sin. To reject what God says is wise. It's a moral offense against God. And it destroys us. Romans 1, 22 and 23 describes that in the Gentiles. If we hate God's wisdom, we love death. It's going to lead to our spiritual demise. And so we cannot be complacent or self-satisfied in our own prudence, our own so-called enlightenment. We need to be enlightened by God and His wisdom. He is the source. He is the one who knows where it's from. He's the one who provides it for us. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And really, that's that key and brings us back to the summary and the Lord's invitation. God's testimony, His Word, makes wise who? It makes wise the simple. Those who are willing to acknowledge, I'm not wise. I need God's wisdom that He gives in God's Word. The call of the gospel is that we listen to that. The wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, the gospel, to save those who believe. The word of the cross is wisdom, God's wisdom. You can be wise today to listen to its call, to let it into your heart, and to live it in your life by becoming a Christian, by repenting of your past sin, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, so that you can walk with God and live in wisdom from this day forward. As a Christian, if you've been unwise, you've been foolish in sin, come back to God. Come back to His Word. Fear Him. Do His will. And you will have blessing now and forevermore. If we can help you, obey His call of the gospel. We urge you to come while we stand and sing.
Who at my door is?